Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining me on the Slice of Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. Joining me today is the managing director at Maverick Ventures, Ambar Bhattacharya. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Jared.
Excited to have you here. It's whenever we can bring on the people that are talking about AI the most, I get super excited. So this will be a ton of fun.
Oh, well, I can't wait. It's exciting to talk to anyone who's excited about AI. I feel like this is the moment right here. So this will be a fun conversation.
Well, let's dive in then. Tell the audience a little bit about you and Maverick Ventures.
Certainly. So I'm an operator turned investor. Started my career in management consulting at Bain & Company. Left there to go work at a healthcare services startup called Minute Clinic. Minute Clinic runs retail health clinics inside of drugstores and grocery stores. I helped with their national expansion and help lead some of those initiatives. And luckily that worked out well. And CVS Pharmacy ended up acquiring us soon afterwards. And the lead investor in Minute Clinic was Bain Capital, in their venture group in particular. And so they asked me to join them after that. And so that's how I got into venture. That was nearly 15, 16 years ago. Spent a couple of years at BCV at Bain Capital Ventures doing investing there. And then transitioned to Bessemer Venture Partners, where I was for 5 years. And I met the folks at Maverick about 9 years ago, and I joined them. And Maverick, just a quick snapshot on us, is we're a 30-year-old investment fund. We have three different parts to our platform. We have a large public group, Maverick Capital. It's a multi-billion dollar effort. And then we have two private funds. It's an early stage fund called Maverick Ventures, about a $600 million fund. And then we also have a growth equity fund, Maverick Growth. So our ambition is to partner with entrepreneurs at any stage in their process. So seed stage, Series A, Series B, it's a great chance for us partnering with folks at that stage out of our venture fund. Growth equity fund is, for folks who are scaled up and getting ready to go public. And obviously, of course, our public funds are able to support entrepreneurs in that way. Most of what we do is in healthcare, about 2/3. And about 1/3 of what we do is in tech, and that intersection of that, or places like, where AI meets healthcare, which is where we spend a lot of our time.
And this is the question I often get from entrepreneurs, even at all stages, right? When we're talking off the recordings, what's the best way? Like, what companies, I guess, are you really interested in? I know you have those different areas that you focus in on. But in terms of like thesis or current focus right now, what's really piquing your interest the most?
Yeah, the way that we approach the world every month, year, day, we try to look at it very thematically. So we try to supplement it with kind of bottoms up and top down type perspective. So on the top down, that's probably the easiest. I mean, we try to identify these mega trends where we think about how the world might look 10 years from now and how that could be dramatically different than it is today. And what are some of those drivers of what could change that? A few years ago, we were interested, and that's kind of where the curiosity of venture comes in. A few years ago, we were super interested in how gene editing and CRISPR might change the world. And then we've been interested a lot in how value-based care is, how that might change the world. We're really curious about how cybersecurity might evolve outside the firewall, as a thought exercise. So today, we're spending our time in two main areas in terms of mega trends, a few others that, are behind that. But mega trend number one is around AI. We've been fortunate, we've been very deeply involved in the AI world from a portfolio company perspective for, the last 9 years, both on the predictive and generative side, and we'll come back to that. We're also spending time on another big mega trend, also three letters, around GLP-1, and how that might influence the world going forward. I think that both of them have lots of puts and takes in terms of that. So that's what we do on a top-down basis. And then the bottoms up, we spend a lot of our time talking to customers, talking to users, talking to patients, talking to stakeholders, talking to regulators, talking to that whole spectrum of folks to help us really refine how that mega trend may distill down into discrete investable theses that we can execute upon in the short term.
Super interesting. It's Well, like one of the things I wanted to really dig in deeper to with you on was, because you obviously you've talked about it a lot, you've been on great panels with it, was leveraging AI to build the future of care. And then also kind of maybe have you touch upon, it seems like, how do we cut through the noise there? Because everyone, I'm sure every deck you see now has AI in it, whether it's probably warranted or not. It more than likely, it probably is, right? But I remember I just went to a pitch competition and it was like every other word was AI, which is great. But you know, how do you cut through the noise in those pitches and with those companies that, you know, yeah, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's truly one of the most fun things we do is to meet with entrepreneurs who are working on ideas. I remember a few months ago we had a hackathon in our office where we brought in some folks from LangChain, and we kind of did this joint event together here, and we had 200 to 300 people here in our office, and our office is certainly not made for made for that side, but. What was cool about that is, one, is just the energy of people being able to build. I mean, that was really fun. But the second part was, you know, you get to talk to folks as they keep iterating through these ideas, right? So you talk about signal to noise. I think in order to get to signal, you got to go through a lot of noise, actually, right? And that's like the, you know, that's part of our process here is, you know, how do we partner with folks to help them eventually narrow down what they're working on, right? Because in the beginning, like, the world's everyone's oysters. So that's one of the things that we try to do, particularly in areas that we know well. And in healthcare, there's so many different landmines here and there. You know, we try to help folks in that realm.
And, you know, as we look towards the future of healthcare and AI's role in it, what are some of these challenges and opportunities that you and Maverick Ventures are seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to the beginning. I mean, we have a number of companies that are using AI, but I'll go back to the beginning last year. So this is maybe 14 months ago or 13 months ago, fall of 2022. And we were really looking into this, you know, how is generative AI gonna impact healthcare? And we called 30 plus customers and non-customers of generative AI type companies, just to really, you know, just the, you know, startups, Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 10 companies, health systems, payers, you name it. We were trying to talk to them to understand, hey, is this a mega trend that's going to happen in healthcare in the short term? Or is this going to be like the cloud where it happens 10 years after everyone else adopts the cloud, right? Well, that's kind of part of what we're trying to do. I'll tell you, one of these moments where the light bulb went off in my head was Stanford Health System here, you know, in Palo Alto. Last fall, they were able to, this is before ChatGPT came out, all this stuff, they were able to create something called PubMed GPT. And this was really fascinating to us. They partnered with a company called Mosaic ML to do this. So that one eventually became a portfolio company. But what Stanford did was really fascinating. They wanted to create a GPT that would be more well accepted by physicians, and it wouldn't be a black box. They want to know exactly what was inside of it. So they decided, why don't we just train it on PubMed? And PubMed, for those of you who don't know, it's a repository of medical publications. So think like Nature, JAMA, Cell, Lancet, you know, so on and so forth. And so they trained this model off just PubMed. And what was fascinating about the outputs were three things. And they've blogged about this now. So this is all public on the Stanford blog. You know, one is it took them about 6 days to do this. So things that would have taken, you know, months and years before to do, it took less than a week. Two is it cost Stanford $38,000 to do this. And so before, you know, think about these big projects being large enterprise sales, you know, six-figure, seven-figure type contracts, you know, it was less than 40K. And the third thing is the quality of the output. Again, this is, you know, over a year ago. And it was it was at a level where it was approximating passing the USMLE, step one. And so if you, what we did, we kind of flipped that all on its head and said, you know, Stanford was able to essentially print out a board certified US physician in less than a week for $38,000. That is a transformative statement to make, even when the technology was as raw as it was, you know, last fall. And that's kind of served as, you know, as a guidepost for us here as we try to navigate this is, you know, there's lots of, you know, lots of tactical things that are happening on the ground. But when you zoom back out to the forest level, you know, what's really possible here or not. And I think that hopefully that example, you know, sheds light on how, you know, early adopting health systems are thinking about this and how that can partner with technology companies to bring some of this stuff to light.
So that being said, you know, what are your thoughts on like essentially an AI clinician? Are we closer than?
I think you might, you know, we, so I'll answer in two ways. The way I look at it is, you know, that there has to be a technical ability to do to create this. And that's kind of one axis. And then there's another practical axis, which is, you know, how do you think about the market adoption for something like this? Now, when you think about the U.S. healthcare system, the market adoption for an AI physician, I don't think is going to happen in the short term. I think there's going to be a lot of things that supplement, you know, physicians and really, you know, the word we use is give them superpowers. You know, how do you digest those 10,000 new pieces of medical literature coming every month? You know, how do you do that in a way where it's in their pocket, you know, at the tip of their fingers? Generative AI is going to be awesome for that. I think for all the back office stuff, revenue cycle, you know, billing, you know, explaining what an EOB is, that stuff's going to be happening. That's going to happen. I think, you know, note taking, and we've already seen what Nuance and some of the other startups are doing in that space. That's going to happen. I think some of those things are kind of low hanging fruit and certainly will happen. The AI clinician stuff, you know, I think it will happen. I think if you look at it on a 10-year basis, again, that megatrend is going to happen. But I think, you know, where we're paying attention to is, you know, how will it happen? And so our early hypotheses there are it may happen in places where it is a medical desert and there's really no alternative of, you know, how do you get access to a human doctor? You look at what the folks at Google have done with MedPalm 2, one of the best, you know, healthcare LLMs that are out there. And one of the first places that they're using this is in Africa. What's really fascinating about that is, you know, the places that they're targeting do not have access to regular physicians. They have clinicians, they have nurses and things of that sort. But will you start to see early adoption of some of these technologies in places where, you know, it's almost the opposite of early adoption for like cloud computing and things of that sort, where you look at the most sophisticated countries and things of that sort. So we're looking there, you know, and we're looking at other slices where that may occur.
Great choice of word.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, I get tagged in all the things when it goes, Amazon looking to take a bite out of a slice of healthcare, and I get tagged in the Google trends, and I'm like, no, really well said. I want to thank you, by the way, for coming on, sharing your thoughts on AI and healthcare and telling us more about Maverick Ventures and your background. As discussed, I do want you to come on a panel and we can dig deeper into the future of AI and healthcare and kind of all the intricacies of that. But this was a great intro episode for you, our audience to get to know you and for us to chat.
This was great. Looking forward to chatting again on the panel, and thanks again for the opportunity.
Absolutely.